Hola madre, this is apologies for the delay for the people waiting in the chat. Had to, you know, do a few errands, but yeah, man, couldn't be happier. Saturday early kickoff. You know, usually it's a pain. In a couple of days, we get to really sleep in over here in the EST. You know, you regret watching some of the games in the morning, but tonight, I mean, today's game wasn't that bad, to be honest. A comprehensive performance, I guess, you know, from all the departments apart from, you know, the obvious, you know, what you usually get from Madrid defensively, you know, it was, you know, more of the same has been the story the whole season, apart from maybe, you know, a couple of games here and there. Usually defensively, we you know, we lack composure in key moments, and that was on display again. But apart from that, so many very good performances, you know, solid sevens, eights across the board. We'll delve into it. Before that, welcome my co-host for the day, Jacob, man. Talk to me. Yeah, what's the feeling like?
It feels good. You know, a really comprehensive victory. The Celta one didn't feel as comprehensive, even though the scoreline was better. But today we actually created enough chances to score even more. A lot of the players put on top performances, like big up fucking Fede Valverde, man. 9.5 rating of so far score, 3 assists. Again, he always does well against Osasuna, so perfect from him. We need to see more of this.
Didn't he score the banger last year against Osasuna from the halfway line?
Yeah.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, You make a very good point. Against Celta, like, even though it was 4-0 at home, you know, we really didn't really look like, you know, we were carving chances out for fun. But today we were. Were you actually surprised by how poor Osasuna was defensively? Because, you know, their back line really couldn't handle whatever we, you know, threw at them. Like, it was basically every time we broke, we had either a 2v2 or a 1-on-1. It was a cakewalk. Usually when we visit Pamplona, they make it a lot harder. But today that wasn't the case. We'll get into it. But big up our partners, manscaped.com. You guys know the drill. LBR20, you get 20% off and free shipping on manscaped.com. Of course, the pioneers in barrel waste grooming, but they have a lot of a big catalog of products ranging from deodorants, loungewear, beard waxes, you name it, trimmers. So go check them out. Show them some love. Show us some love. Right. Where should we begin, man? Right from kickoff, you know, we lose possession, careless giveaway, and they almost broke. And I was like, yeah, man, this is kind of, you know, starting to annoy me. You know, we have to really wake up from the get-go. But then, you know, really basically runs through on goal, and brilliant finish. It had to be him, right? And I can't remember who the assist was by. Can you remember?
Yeah, man, like I almost missed the goal. I just saw Vinny tapping in as soon as I turned it on.
Right. It was stolen off, yeah, off the defender, yeah. I guess. It was a gift, right? Yeah, 100%.
So I totally missed the... I guess,
have no idea.
Osasuna were on a clean breakthrough before that?
Probably. My memory is blood from that. But to be honest, the center pack was kind of caught napping. unacceptable, honestly. You know, watching that, he basically had time to take proper 3 touches, but yet he took 4. And eventually, you know, gave us the goal on a plate. Although he was through on goal, you know, he still had some work to do. And yeah, we saw from Vinny, man, that's his most comfortable finish, if I must say. You know, basically pulling the goalkeeper towards one post and then, you know, slotting it into the other is kind of, you know, what Vinny excels at. And brilliant finish. He has been on fire in March.
Absolutely, man. He went on to have like way more good chances. Like some of them were more easier, some of them were harder.
Right after that, remember?
Right after that.
Rudiger's pass.
I don't know how he missed that, man.
I have no idea why he is trying to. It's almost like you know, some guys who are not that good at the game. You know, no pun intended. In FIFA, who you know, when they throw a goal, they attempt a stupid step over to probably, you know, throw someone off. But yeah, it resembled something like that. And then Vinny should have just taken the shot. You know, put his laces through, and it would have been 2-0 up easy. But then Osasuna scored before that, you know. Usual stuff, right, Jacob? Like, how many times have we been here talking about how we kind of take our, you know, jolly time trying to reset from a corner, trying to anticipate danger, even from a clearance, you know, that follows the corner. Who can you really, you know, put your blame on? Because the amount of people basically sleepwalking for that Budimir goal was an abomination, and that goal basically, you know, worries me a lot more than the one we conceded at the end, which is, you know, let's be honest, a brilliant play and a good finish. But the first goal we conceded basically is a template for, you know, how we have conceded goals all season. Does that worry you, especially against, you know, a small side, you know, called City coming up in a couple of weeks with guys like Haaland, Rodri waiting to pounce? What are we going to do, you know, if we have lapses like that? Rudiger, like, you can't depend on Rudiger basically cloning himself and, you know, putting his clones all over the pitch.
No, man, for me, so just to put it in perspective, like, this was the first goal that we conceded off a corner this season. Surprising, I know, right? Because we usually, like, always blame our marking, like, and we always give opponents chances, but for some reason they've never been able to put it into the back of the net off a corner. So
they just haven't capitalized, but the warning signs were always there.
It's always there. We always been poor. Sometimes Rodrigo is marking their star striker. Things like that always happen. But for me, I'm not too worried, man. Like, I'm sure when the stakes are higher, these guys probably do better. Maybe there's a clearance off the line. Let's see. But these things, it's hard to defend also. Like, how would you defend Rodri and Haaland? There's no recipe. You would just put Rudiger on them and pray for the best. So yeah, the second goal, though, it did worry me. I know we'll get into that, but I feel like it's an issue that we've had, like, all season, just defending those half spaces, you know, where Cruz is always there.
Half spaces, yeah.
Yeah, so the cutbacks were always vulnerable. I know even in the Man City game, they did hurt us through that way. So yeah, that's the thing I'm more worried
Bernardo
about.
Carving us open. Holy shit. The 1-2s, you know, the cutbacks were super lethal. You know, Bernardo basically just pulled someone out to the wide and then create like a gaping hole in between you know, the touchline and our left corner of our D box. It's super easy. It's just textbook stuff. Yet we, you know, failed to, you know, pick them out. Yeah, like, I'm telling you, like, I've got to see, you know, City. I've got to see how City does against was it Newcastle, I think, that they're playing right now. But yeah, like, all them boys who you know, we're claiming that they look, you know, not that good this season, is going to be in for a rude awakening, especially if we, you know, give them chances like that. But yeah, they score. Budimir has been having a brilliant season, you know, kind of been under the radar. Probably his breakout season, you know, when he is 34 or 35. How old is he? 33? I'm not sure. But he's a specimen, isn't he? Like, 6'4", can finish with both feet. Is brilliant brilliant with his headers in the air as well. I was kind of a bit deflated that it kind of, you know, hit on the way in, you know. I just was expecting was a much better finish from Budimir, so that, you know, we couldn't really pin the blame on Carver. But then Carver had his, you know, iffy moments, like he has been, you know, showcasing for the past month or so. He hasn't been hitting his heights that he hit in November, December. poor throw-ins, you know, like basically, you
that
know.
Blew my mind. That throw-in blew my mind. And I just don't understand the current formation, like why we're not utilizing Carvajal like earlier on in the season. Like he was pushed so far high up and Fede was always there to cover. But nowadays it seems like we're just pushing Fede more over to the right and Carvajal just sits back. I feel like at this point in Carvajal's career, like if he have to get the best out of him, he has to be high up. And, you know, we've always got people back to cover for him, especially in these smaller games.
You know, I think it probably might be a case of fatigue.
Could be. Fede, yeah.
I'm not so sure. Because, probably with either Fede or maybe even Danny. Because let's be honest, Danny has excelled basically staying up when he looks super, you know, super, how do you put it?
Energetic,
you know, super
physically, yeah.
So, super vigorous, basically, you know, having that extra spring in his step, you know, trying to beat a man. You know, he can't beat men for pace, but just his tight, intricate passing, you know, quick little maneuvers, you know, to find it, you know, extra yard of space to basically, you know, like throw in a cross or something. But I guess it could be either, you know, Fede or Danny basically having a bit of a fatigue issue. But against guys like City, I think we'll be back to basics. Danny basically trying to pin back, you know, who is it? Ake playing down the left usually this season. But yeah, Carvajal, but then, you know, Gazan basically, you know, answered his critics. What a finish. Not gonna lie. Brahim to Fede. Fede on the swivel. You could just, you know, basically reconstruct that play 10,000 times, but you know, I'll guarantee you that, you know, it comes out that way just once, because everything about it was perfect. Fede's weight on the pass, his anticipation to basically, his spatial awareness, basically, you know, to turn the man and, you know, find a runner. Basically, you know, Carvajal had the presence of mind. Talk us through the goal, man, Jacob. Like, that is a season finish from Danny. And we have seen that so many times. If you guys remember, his goal against Sevilla is of a similar ilk, you know, outside of the boot back in 2016.
Absolutely.
Winner in the Super Cup.
Yeah, this guy has a finish on him. We've known that. But it just, and recent, like, it just matters when we, if we can find him when he makes those late runs. And Fede just put it in the right area. I'm not sure if he knew Carvajal was running in, but he just put it in the right area. And Carvajal, like, I feel like Rodrigo should take some tips from him, man. Like, the goalkeeper had no chance. It was, like, right through the left-hand side of the post.
Herrera, who's, you know, like, if you look back in the past couple of years, has given us a few, you know, nightmarish games, you know, here and there. If you guys remember, like, he, I think, did he save like three back-to-back pens by Karim or something? That was a stat, I think, you know, leading up to last season. But yeah, man, Danny, you know, bought the goods to the party, and yeah, I wasn't expecting that to go in. I was thinking that would be like a scuffed shot, probably, you know, going out for a goal kick. But yeah, big up Danny, man. We need this kind of you know, improvisation to stand a chance this season, especially in the Champions League. And the more we keep doing stuff like this, you know, like, I'll be honest, because speaking from experience, watching our rivals put in performances when they are on a run like we are, you know, this season, if Barcelona fans, especially, let's focus on Barcelona fans, right? Like, if the you know, Cules are actually watching this game, and then they see a finish like that, they'll basically, you know, tell themselves or tell their mates that this is over. Like, how can we combat that, right? Like, when Madrid is on a romp like that, it really is uplifting. And that would do the world of confidence for Danny, man. Like, we need him in his prime, basically, to stand a chance especially if it's going to be at the Etihad. Like Jacob, like we did hear about there might be a slight chance that it might be moved. Is there any likelihood that you know, we could get away with having the Bernabeu for the second leg? Did you hear anything after that? Because I didn't hear anything.
I heard UEFA say that it's up to the Madrid ground staff over there. If they believe they can guarantee security, then it's going to happen as planned. But if there's a change, then maybe the game gets pushed to a later time, or maybe even the home and the away.
Or maybe the Dortmund Atleti game gets a change,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like Dortmund plays the home leg first, and then. I don't know. That could have given us an edge. It just really is throwing me off. And I'm not ready for Steve. And people who know Steve, you know, people who has tuned in for years, I'm pretty sure know Steve well. And yeah, he's already basically, you know, loading his gun. I'm not ready. Big up the chat. Let's get to a few of them before we move on. Big up Ashik, he was mentioning Real deliver. That's the day after I get my Manscaped delivery, man. Big up Ashik, bro. Let us know what you bought. If it's something explicit, I hope you reserve it for our DMs on Insta. right. Milan, big up Milan. Milan was saying Ramadan, aka Manscaped Rudiger, is insane. When he's too good, happy, got the yellow, didn't want him to play after the international break. Oh, okay. There you go. That's a different twist to, you know, perspective. After the international break, Fed Day, crazy performance. Rodrigo played very well. Arda is a talent. Talking about it, you know, since we are on it, might as well get out of the way, because I don't want to expend my energy on bullshit such as, you know, what we saw and what we have been seeing for the past, you know, couple of weeks. Me and Mo had a go at each other, you know, the last time we were here last week, and yeah, I got everything that I had in my system. You know, out on that post match. Now I'm just numb. I wanna just hear your two cents, Jacob, because you know you have been. We basically haven't had a 1-to-1, you know, for a while. Vinny, man, should he be doing better? Should he be doing worse? Is he being targeted? Is he the subject of snipers? You know. From the stadium rooftops, from the terraces, on looking the ground, is he being basically, you know, is he being scapegoated for, you know, for being too nice? I need your two cents, Jacob.
Man, I feel like there are times when you actually need to get a yellow if you're defending your team, or if you're doing tactical stuff, trying to like convince the referee, that's fine. But senseless stuff like this, it doesn't really help the team, help anyone actually, except for getting yourself banned for the next game. So I feel like the stats speak for themselves. In the last four games that he has scored, even though he has scored, he got four yellow cards. And in the 12 year...
Holy...
listen to this, I think in his Real Madrid career, he has 12 yellow cards. All of them have been for dissent with the referee. And, of course, pushing players as well. It's not for, like, any fouls or any late challenges, nothing like that. So it's him acting up, either with the players or with the referee. I can understand with the players, maybe he gets riled up. But it's just not smart to talk back to the referee, man. You just need to control that. I have no qualms with him if he tries to defend himself or stand up to players. Maybe that's part of his game, how he expresses himself. I don't mind yellow cards like that, but with the referees, you have to be a bit more smarter.
Honestly, he sometimes just is so petulant. So petulant. Like, I don't get this. Like, man, I'm actually getting into that zone again, but yeah, I won't rant much. But, you know, a couple instances in the game where basically, you know, we have watched the modern game well enough. He has watched it growing up. You know, well enough to know if someone is basically blocking your runoff, he's never gonna get a pen. Get the fuck up, get on with the game. Like, why is he doing this week in, week out? People are gonna block your runs off. When the fuck have you ever gotten a pen for someone blocking your runoff, Jacob? Can you tell me that? Like, have you ever seen an instance, probably maybe 3-20-15 or something, right? Like, 10 years ago, maybe an off chance like that would have been resulted in a pen. But recent trend has told us that, you know, if someone blocks off a run, you're never getting a pen. You're not even getting a foul if it's outside the box. So why is he mourning? I don't get it. It's so pitiful, man, honestly.
I kind of understand it.
Honest to God.
Sometimes, though, because if you feel like you don't have a chance to score from that angle or whatever, or if you feel like there's too many defenders, it's probably like a good idea to go down if you feel like there's any contact coming. But
obviously, man, that's gamesmanship, right? Yeah. Like, we would understand. Man, like, we've seen the game long enough to know when it's gamesmanship and when it is petulant.
Yeah.
If you keep doing that from minute 1 to minute 90 at the same wavelength, it just comes off as a tryhard. Simple as. It's just one of those basement boys acting up. That's what it looks like, not someone who's mature enough to, you know, carry the mantle of the number 7 shirt. And the number 7 shirt is sacred. Let's be honest. And, you know, like,
man, this is just his
Cristiano,
man.
Like people who say Cristiano used to be.
Yeah, like, Cristiano used to
man,
be.
Man, personalities have to step aside. Personalities have to step aside. Let me be honest. Personalities have to be pushed to the side. This, and basically, guy,
so it's you can't say that because this is the same personality that gets you 99%. Like even though we were maybe at limit 91 or 92. Vinny's still going strong, still trying to take players on. It's with his personality that he's so driven and so passionate, but that has his downside as well when he does bullshit like this. I know we complain, but I there's no point to complaining because that's just how
people would say downside all of this until he gets himself sent off in a game. I'm telling you, until he gets sent off in a game, that's going to decide a season, and that's coming. I'm telling you, like, yeah, like, I was of the intention, like, I was of the notion that even last year when we used to have this conversation, I used to, you know, basically tell you guys, tell myself and console myself that, yeah, like, he would lose his head, but he knows in big games, he would not. What the fuck did he do against Leipzig?
Yeah.
What did he do against
Leipzig? Like, that was a clear mistake. So there's two things. There's one part of Vinny is that he just over complains to the ref. That needs to stop. It's clear dissent. He's going to get himself booked. The second part is his, maybe he feels like he's fouled. He falls down too much and he complains for every single thing. Those two things are different. And he has to stop the part where he actually complains to the ref too much, man.
In my opinion, both sides can basically combine together and result in a red in a high stakes game.
I feel like once he gets a yellow, man, like, I've never seen Vinny try to risk a red card. I feel like he's more cautious after that. Even today, he was cautious after he received the yellow. He did not do too much complaining.
Anyway, I hope your faith in him basically, you know, bails us out. You know, that's my hope, because I don't have any faith in his temperament. No fucking whatsoever.
Let's see when he gets a red.
Like, I'm over. Yeah, I just hope it's in a meaningless game. You know, it's not in the Champions League against you know, some of the big boys. But another thing that, you know, like, the final thing, basically, before we move on from this, you know, wretched, part of the game. Milan was saying he's happy he got the yellow. I didn't want him to play after the international break. I beg to differ, right? He might get minutes from Brazil. He would play significant minutes, obviously. But I would have preferred for him to not come in cold for the City game. But that's just me. That's what I told the boys in the group chat as well. I don't know if Jacob agrees with this, but I want to hear your perspective on this. He's going to miss an entire 10 days after the international break before he can get a kick against City. What's your take on it? Like, it's not going to completely derail him off. It's not like a month out with a knock. It's different, but still, it isn't ideal, is it? Right?
No,
crunch period of the season.
If look, if players want to get a rest, it the control should be with us, with the coaching staff. Say, hey, maybe he's played too much in the international break. We need to give him a rest. After minute 60, let's bring him off. Like, it should always be our choice. Like, this is forcing our hand, and this is not ideal at all. Like, I totally get your point. I don't know if he'll be totally, like, cold or whatever, since he's anyways playing on the international break. He'll be back in training soon. So I don't know if that will factor into play, but it's definitely not ideal. Like, that choice should be with us.
100%. Right. Flame Boy, bigger Flame Boy. He was mentioning Madrid against City was written in the stars. There is no way UEFA giving us easy pass to the final. Yeah. Easy brackets aren't really a thing for us anymore. Ashik was saying, what is the Man City? Ricardo, he was saying, I feel so sorry for Rodrigo. At times, it's like it's become almost impossible for him to score a single goal, even against inferior opposition. We have done this topic to death. But again, Jacob, he tried. You know, I can't fault his effort. That chance, basically, when Vinny slipped him through, his neat, quick shuffle to the side, he should finish that against Herrera. I know Herrera basically made himself big, closed the ankle in a second, but last year's Rodrigo puts it away. The year to the last, year prior to the last, even the 21-22 Rodrigo finishes it aplomb. What is really getting to him, Jacob? Is it the mental stuff? Because that's basically what we all feel, right? It's the psychological side of the game that is basically, pegging him back.
Yeah, man, I feel the same way. Definitely the last years or the years before. Like, we used to say, like, Rodrigo is so clinical, he just needs a half chance to score. That's just not true anymore.
I can't believe it, man. I can't believe it. It's so heartbreaking to even contemplate the dig deep in. Like, we used to sit here and say, Rodrigo is the most clinical finisher in the team. We used to heap praises, like, fucking every post-match.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't get it. I don't get how to process it. Watching it, play out. It's so unlike him. So unlike Rodrigo.
I don't know if it's either his technical ability faulting. Like, even in the training videos, I just don't see him score anymore. It's always like closer to the goalkeeper. So I don't know if it's just mental in the game. Not sure. But I'm going to take the positives from this game and for Rodrigo. He did some things that's only possible by players of his ability. When once Vinny left the pitch and he started playing on the left, like, he was back in his groove. He carved out chances for himself. So his general play is still really, really good. That's where I'm going to take the positive against. Like, his finishing, I don't know. Let's just forget the season's finishing, Rodrigo, man. Like, this is just, I don't think he's going to score for the next 10 games too, even if he's given 20 chances.
Man, that November patch he had, that really had me thinking, yeah, this is going to be, his year. Yeah, alongside
just,
Vinny,
just imagine, he's going to basically... If Rodrigo was like freely scoring like Vinny or like Bellingham, we would have like so much confidence to face off against Man City, anyone in the world. But now we just have to pray and make sure, oh, fuck, let Vinny or Bellingham finally get to the end of something by some miracle and then we score. But if we had three players firing all the time, I'm pretty sure we would have headed into the Champions League way more confident.
But even defensively, right? Imagine they were all firing. We go 2-0 up. Do you think we can keep the scoreline 2-0 at home against City and take a 2-0 win?
That's never going to be the case. You can't. We're always going to be 2-0 behind. It's up to us to make the comeback. I'm telling you.
If we don't take a lead, and I'm telling you, at least a minimum 2-0 and. Even 2-0 is of less of a significance. Like, we saw last year, like, 2-0, 3-0, I don't think it really matters, when we are playing City away. But without a 2-0 lead or a 2-goal lead, I don't think we should even go to the City of Manchester. It's just pointless, People can call me pessimistic and whatever. I'm just being realistic. Like,
yeah, realistically, that's the case. But then we have to hope, man. We have to hope Carlo has learned something from that match and,
try something. Yeah. I have hope. But yeah, I just hope he doesn't play, you know, stuff like Cruz as the deepest deepest midfielder and stuff like that. I reckon we are going to see, you know, stuff like that, because he relies on it way too much, even in games like this. You know, like, he drops the deepest. I mean, we saw against Osasuna as well. You know, technically, Kamavinga is supposed to be the defensive of the four, if you want to call it, right? But yeah, Kamavinga starts with basically carrying the ball forward a lot more. But yeah, Rodrigo stuff, I guess, you know, I hope basically, you know, he gets his mojo back, because we need it. Or basically relegate him to the bench. Bring him from the bench and let's see what happens. Throw in Brahim to start. Give Brahim the start. Like, give Rodrigo that extra edge that he would get with fresher legs over tired legs to, you know, basically, you know, carve out a chance, instead of him basically, you know, running himself to the ground from the get-go. Like, Jacob, like, isn't that a good plan? Like, is there something to lose? I don't think so, you know? Brahim, Jude, and Vinny can be a very good starting trio. But again, you know, there's this counter-argument, like, you would miss Brahim's good stuff from the bench as well. Like, it's a hard,
like,
one.
Whenever we really started call. Brahim, like, you saw against Leipzig, when Rodrigo was in on the pitch, Brahim started. Like,
yeah,
I feel like Brahim up top doesn't really cut it out for us. Probably Joselu helps in that case. Maybe that's a tactic we can go to. But I wouldn't replace
Brahim. Joselu won't start.
Yeah, definitely. No. So there you go. There's no other way. Start Rodrigo. Hope he connects the dots. Forget about him scoring. That's just it.
Like, me and Mo were having this conversation that Brahim really plays well with Jude and Vinny. I'm not so sure we have much of an evidence, but I guess, you know, we should talk about Brahim as well. The third goal, was it the third goal?
Yep.
That Brahim scored?
Yep.
Right? Brilliant finish, you know, the pace that he had, basically Lunen with a good clearance to Fede, basically, you know, nicking it off the defender, not nicking it off, basically winning the header, and Rodrigo takes a tumble. Like, I've no idea, like, why he basically does he lose his feet or something, but yeah, man, Brahim, easy, convicted finish. Didn't really have to, you know, think too much about, you know, choosing between placement and power. He just is a supremely fine talent, man. Like, people underrate him way too much.
Yeah, really good goal from, like, I was surprised by the lack of defending from Osasuna. Like, the defender was getting occupied by both.
That has been the whole.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, right. Really well taken goal, man. Really proud of Brian's finish as well. He didn't try to overcomplicate it. He was composed. Really good stuff.
He has really, you know, taken the mantle this season. 9 goals so far this season for someone who has had, like, what, 13, 14 starts? That's incredible stuff. Like, 4 winners as well, where people really didn't even give him a prayer, you know, beginning of the season. He has come a long way. This basically, you know, is, like, if we go by the reports, basically is forcing the club's hand to give him, you know, a renewal and an increased salary as well, which is very well deserved. Like, I really do feel like he's going to have a huge say, like, you know, where our Champions League hopes lie as well. We got a glimpse against Leipzig, against City. You know, he can do one against his former club, and I hope, you know, like, he can really, you know, stamp his authority.
Because
once he gets that crucial. That's a far-fetched shout, but good lord, right? Like, Foden, I completely, you know, discarded Foden from my memory because of how good he has been this season. But yeah, add him to the mix, man. City is fucking unstoppable across the park. What are we gonna do? But yeah, people who have confidence, call me up, man. Give me some pep talk. But yeah, Brahim really is standing out. You know, he should be the unsung hero of the season, I feel like. really, really does. Whenever we needed, you know, players basically, you know, playing up top or in the hole out wide, Brahim has stepped in from the bench while starting and really, really, you know, delivered. But yeah, third goal, Brahim. Fourth goal, Vinny again.
Yep.
Fede.
Yep.
Right. Talk us through it, man.
Yeah, man. Like a Fede, uncorrectly, this is rare this season that he's making a forward run like that. So he could have actually controlled it, maybe taken it on himself, but he saw Vinny running and he knew. Like, it's probably a slam dunker if you just pass it to Vinny. And I'm not sure how he passed it, controlled with his abdomen or, like, you know, somewhere else. But finally, ball fell to Vinny.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. penile assist, let's call it. Falls to Vinny. He absolutely runs through on goal. Very neat finish.
Right. Yeah, 100%. Like, I wouldn't call what you call, you know, call the finish. I mean, that's just out of order. You could just say that's the, you know, that's the his thighs, or basically, you know, his pelvis coming into play. But yeah, man, we have probably, you know, kids tuning in later on Spotify. You should keep it a bit more, you know, PG friendly, man. But yeah, very good finish from Vinicius. In the presence of mind to basically, you know, bend it over to the other side of the incoming, you know, Sergio Herrera was very typical of Vinny. Like we mentioned earlier in the pod, that's the finish he loves the most. That's what I think he's in his element with that kind of a finish. But yeah, Vinicius is really stepping up. Like if you take off, you know, his antiques, he is just on fire this season. I'm not sure about the stats, but how many goals does he have? Like, do you have any idea, Jacob, for the season?
I can look it up later.
Probably around the 15 mark, right? 15 or 16 mark so far, all comps.
All comps, yeah.
I think because he, like, despite missing, like, at least 2 months, right? Yep. In total?
Yep.
Did he miss 2 months or one and a half months?
He was injured. Due to injury. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So decent numbers for someone who's you know who's a winger and basically
it's,
you know,
12 goals and
being relied upon too much.
Comps.
12 goals, 5 assists, 17 GNA. Not bad. He's being you know deployed out of position. You know, let's give him his flowers. You know, when it's due, he has been really carrying us, especially ever since, you know, Rodrigo. And even Jude has been, you know, missing, you know, here and there with injuries, with suspensions, when he had to basically, you know, do his job alone. Talking about Fede, three assists, or two assists, three or two assists.
Three assists.
I'm not sure about three assists, right? This is, you know, statistically his standout performance this season, but it was kind of a fresh air, right? A breath of fresh air. When Fede basically had free reign to roam forward. You know, he usually was very, very deep, you know, throughout the season. But it just, you know, reminds you how much he can do, again, moving forward as well. So basically, for the benefit of the team, he is being deployed with a handbrake on, right, to help how, you know, basically we you know, car ourselves in defensive transition. But yeah, man, Fede for the season has been, again, one of the unsung heroes. Like, without him, like, where would our season, you know, be? What would our season look like in March?
Absolutely, man. This was one of the standout games. We've been asking for this, begging him to make runs, you know, try to get some shots in. He did all of that. It wasn't just yes. He had an overall good game. He almost knocked it into the back of the net as well with the cross. If you remember, in the first half, the keeper had to parry it away. It was a deflection off of Mojica.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit. Like, he basically, you know, had to, you know, stretch out for it. His fingertips, you know, saved from going in. But, yeah. But I still still want his, you know, long range prowess to be a lot better, because like I did mention, like you weren't here in the last post match, people are saying, you know, like you know, his long range calls you know is great, but I was telling him like he's not your typical long shot, you know, sniper who would, you know, bury 3 out of 10 chances. But no, like his conversion has gone down way too much. I know he's being deployed a lot deeper, but yeah, like his shots leaves a lot to be desired. That's the only, you know, slight gripe I have from, you know, today's game. Did you feel the same? Like, where has his accuracy been, man? Like, this season, it's been slacking.
Yeah, man, like, I feel like it's unrealistic to expect, unless you're like a god, to like try to put every single long shot on target at least. It's really hard to do. And
yeah,
it was a surprise last season when he was able to do it. Maybe he just needs another uptick in form.
Right.
You know, like this season, especially in the second half of the season, we've not been singing a lot of praises of Fede. He has looked tired, sluggish. He hasn't been making runs at all, even when he has had the opportunity to do so. He hasn't been helping out in defense too much. So yeah, like maybe an uptick in form is just what he needs. Maybe some rest. Let's see after the international break if something's changed. But yeah, today was very encouraging. It was different to the games that we've previously seen from him.
100%. Like, we need him, you know, firing, especially out of the Champions League. You know, like, this guy is basically our backbone, our lung, our, you know, our foundation for anything that we you know, do good. Yeah, throughout the season. So Fede really needs to, you know, be, you know, wrapped up like we always say in bubble wrap, and, you know, say stowed away for the crunch part. I hope he doesn't play too much for Uruguay. He's the captain and whatnot. You know, he's gonna be putting in a show. But yeah, I just hope, you know, he's a little laid back, man. I'll be honest. Let's get to a few of the comments before. Rule of Real Madrid. We don't talk about other clubs. The second rule of Real Madrid. We don't talk about other clubs. Third rule. Don't forget the first two rules. Big up Ashik, man. Cabello. Big up Cabello. He was mentioning Vinny needs to relax in games. He brings so much pressure on himself. 100%. Agree. Ricardo was mentioning there are delusional Barca fans that still think they are in a title race. I firmly believe the days where they won one or two trophies are long gone. They will still win, but not like before. I'm not sure. They will be back, man. You know, Barcelona, they always come back. Ashik was mentioning Manscaped deodorant. Right. I don't want to get into it. Jay, big up Jay, was mentioning Guler is Ozil 2.0. Agree. Long way to go, my friend. The long shot was pretty neat, not going to lie. Did you expect it to go in, Jacob? You know, like the moment I saw it dipping, I was like, holy shit, is this going to be the goal of the season? But yeah, it just fell 5 yards short. He looks bright, right? Like, he needs to get some minutes, man. Like, give him some minutes. Like,
fucking Ancelotti, what are you
against,
doing, man?
Against...
Like, once we go 4-0 up, it was the 60th minute. I was like, fuck, it's time to bring Guler on. And I'm seeing substitution after substitution, still no Guler. And it's at what, minute 80?
Vasquez is coming on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Lucas Vasquez is coming on. Fuck's sake.
Vasquez is still our G, right? Like, at least G, it wasn't fucking Danny Ceballos.
It's not like,
but
we need to develop him or anything. Like, these minutes, it's probably our fringe players. Yeah.
100%. Like, Arda Guler, like, we might, you know, people would say, like, yeah, like, even someone on the fan cams, you know, a couple of days back against Vigo was mentioning, you know, we really shouldn't, you know, give too many minutes to youngsters. I get it. I'm all behind that sentiment. You know, you're playing for the biggest club in the world. It's a big ask. But with City, you know, around the corner, what if we need a guy like him from the bench to change the game? Right, like if he has the confidence that he can do something, he won't be that intimidated by the occasion. Regardless of how well we train him, his first knockout tie against one of the biggies will be intimidating. But it's all just the prep that matters, right? Like, you just see what he does when he gets 10 or 5 minutes here and there. You just build on it. Give him a few more minutes. But I think he will get a lot more minutes with Mini being out against Bilbao at home. I hope that's the case, you know, at least from the bench. Cabello was mentioning, I think we have a chance versus City. We always have a chance, no matter who it is against. You know, you can't count on Madrid, no matter what. But I'm just a pessimistic, you know, person in general. And you know, situations like this when you know the odds are stacked up against us so much. I just really, you know, have to be realistic. Cabello was mentioning, would you guys start Thibaut against City? We had this conversation, you know, he needs to play himself into match sharpness, match fitness. It really is going to be a grueling journey for him to, you know, completely be reinstated as the numero uno. It's going to take a bit since we only have one more game. That's it before City, right? Just one game. Is it realistic, Jacob? Do you reckon? I don't think it's realistic at all. Maybe the potential semi, right? That's a much more realistic return date.
Well,
what do you reckon?
Any of the goals we concede, it's not because of Lunin. So just because of that fact, like I would just
no chance.
I just wouldn't like risk it this season. Like just trust Lunin. He has a good understanding with the current form of the defense without the regulars. So just keep it going, man.
100%. That's what I was mentioning to Mo as well, but Mo did question, you know, like would you take in a do or die situation, would you take Thibaut? Like obviously we would take Thibaut, but coming back from an ACL, we know it's life-changing, life-altering, career-altering at times. Like you never know. Like we have always discussed, like what shape someone like him would be coming back in. Marcus Winningham was mentioning, because Marcus was mentioning Vinny nowadays makes Mother this is frustrating. I hope the coming of Mbappe will change the attitude. That's what I read somewhere. I'm not sure where it was, on Twitter or something, but he does have a point. Like someone actually made a comparison between Cristiano and then when he had someone of the ilk of Gareth Bale, he was a little less petulant or something. There might be a reason, you know, where sharing some spotlight or someone who is as big as yourself comes into the side and, you know, really takes away a bit of the pressure and whatnot, would kind of, you know, help him out. But I do feel like Bale coming in, you know, and Cristiano maturing coincided with his petulance, you know, basically slowing down. Wasn't Cristiano 28 or something, 29 or something by the time Bale came in? I'm not sure.
Probably
28, I think. Yeah. So he was basically the man by that time. Winnie is what, 23? Holy shit, 5 more years of this? Not ready. Not ready. Some of the other good performances. Kamavinga has been stacking it up back to back. You know, putting in the performances that really, really questions, you know, like what is his ceiling like? Apart from his shooting, he is just immaculate. Some of the, you know, 50-50s he wins, he has absolutely no right to, like, man, he has the legs of a fucking Spider-Man. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, man, it's no longer a 50-50 when it comes to coming. It's probably 70-30. 7 times out of 10, he's
100%. 100%. He just has that knack, right? Like to basically, you know, go in for a tackle and just, yeah, walk out of it basically unscathed with the ball. Like, yeah, like we need that kind of ball winning. Basically, you know, again, like I would say, like for our holy grail, you know, that's left for the season. Kamavinga stacking it up. Basically, you know, offensively, defensively, he has been doing the job. He really has opened my eyes towards, you know, how much he, you know, brings to the game. You know, like we have always kind of looked at Kamavinga and said, yes, he has talent, he is raw, you know, like he needs a lot more polishing. But I guess that stint at left back last season really helped him up with some of his positional deficiency, some of his temperament issues, where like at left back, you have a lot more freedom to express yourself. Like you can basically get your game going with a lot less pressure than being deployed in a fucking car chase going at 200 miles per hour in the heart of midfield. So I guess it was all maybe a part of a bigger plan from Carlo, and it seems to be working, man. Like, I'm super happy with Kamavinga. Like, he just keep dropping 7-8s every time. I didn't expect this, honestly. I didn't expect this much of a jump from last season from Kamavinga.
Talk
to us, Jacob.
He's still raw in certain aspects, like his ball winning, his positioning. He has improved so much.
Obviously.
But in order to... right now in competition with Tchouaméni, when the Champions League tie or the important games roll out, it's going to be Nacho and Rudiger or whoever's back in defense. And Tchouaméni is going to start. And the reason Tchouaméni is going to start is because he's just so much more calmer on the ball when we try to bring the ball out, especially when the opponent is like a high-pressing team, when they're actually coming towards you. I feel like Kamavinga in those situations, he kind of messes up the simple passes and overcomplicates things. And we saw that maybe in a couple of occasions.
Oh, yeah, that's one.
So that's the reason why Carlo is going to drop Kamavinga in the Man City try, for sure. Overall, his ceiling is so good. His ceiling is like probably higher than Fede, probably higher than Tchouaméni. And he just has to keep working on it. And he has been growing from strength to strength. He has taken away his habit of getting a yellow card every single game earlier on in the game. He has improved his positioning so much. It's just now his composure that he needs to work on in tight spaces. And if he gets a handle of that, you can't displace the man. He's going to start every single game.
100%. I think, you make a very good point. Like, I try to kind of, gloss over that aspect of the game, because when I watch it, like, I know it's kind of irritating the amount of times that Kamavinga basically runs into an alleyway and, gives the ball away. He just really doesn't have the same, how do you put it, the same kind of sharpness to his intricate close space passing to break out of pressure. It's not really his game probably yet, maybe, but to be a well-rounded midfielder like what I expected from Fede, which he has mopped up a lot more. Like, if you notice now, Fede doesn't really get up into sticky situations. Probably a combination of both his positional situation in the side, and basically him maybe improving over the course of the season. He doesn't really get pressed into a situation where a 5-yard pass is a hospital one. But Kamavinga, even in today's game against a very poor press from Osasuna, had some iffy moments. I do get your point. He will get better with time, and I do think Kamavinga's excellence is that he never stops trying, and he knows when he fucks up, he just guzz in, 200% to get the ball back. Very encouraging, performance from Kamavinga. But Tchouaméni, man, since we are on the topic, would you prefer him starting at centre back if Militao is fit and available and not yet, match sharp? Would you rather start him with Rudiger, or would you go back to Nacho?
I think I'll have to go back to Nacho, man. Like, I feel like centre back should be centre backs against, especially like we've seen this even against City, when Kamavinga is probably our left back still that point. But then when it comes to these system teams, you need to have the know-how to actually defend, and you need to have years and years of experience defending. So definitely gonna go back to Nacho. Not even gonna count Militao back in, because he's just not sharp enough, man. Like, you could make an argument for
Courtois. Maybe for the second leg.
Yeah, maybe for... Not even the second leg. Maybe it's the semis if we get through. I feel like with Courtois, we can maybe take that chance, because he's not really an outfield player. You don't need to have total understanding of your current team, the rhythm and everything. It's just your personal ability to actually save a goal. But then with Militao, it's the whole synergy with your team, with the defense, with Rudiger. And I would not take...
The reason why I said, like, I was the guy who was, always claiming that, these guys shouldn't be rushed back. Remember, Jacob, the reason why I was mentioning Militao is the fact that, God forbid, maybe I'm just manifesting it to not happen, right? What if Nacho has one of those clangers like he has had, you know, over the season against City? You never know. Like, what are we going to do? Take that same Nacho who has dropped a shitty performance, devoid of confidence, to the Etihad? Like, I wouldn't do that. You know, that's my thinking when it comes to a guy like Militao. But again, rushing someone back from an ACL, you know what you're going to get with that, right? Risk of injury is super high. He's going to be rusty. You're just praying that his instincts kick in and, you know, his qualities bail us out. But it's such a fine fucking line. Why the fuck can't we see out a season without such dramatic, like fucking plot devices scattered throughout the season? How many guys are on a yellow away from suspension, man? Is it Vinny, Chomini? Who else? Jude?
Kamavinga and Jude, yeah. So basically, our star midfield and our attack, that's it. Gone if they get a yellow.
Are you like, be honest, Jacob. Those guys in the video department for City right now, as we speak, I don't know what the time is in the UK. Is it 8 or 9? Probably they might be, you know, chilling with their wives now, but at least a couple of hours back, they would have been in the video room looking back at footage from how we can get these guys into trouble, nick a yellow. And they would tell themselves, if we get these guys a yellow, it's not that deep. You know, probably Ryan Vinicius, you know, get into his head. Simple. Get him a yellow and our tie is done in the first leg. Just deep in, Jacob, how fucking nasty that situation is. How do you basically prepare for that? What the fuck am I going to tell Steve in the preview? Like, we put ourselves in such fucking, you know, deep graves.
I don't know, man.
And guys like Mo, they defend such antics from Vinny and all these players. Like, I don't get this, man. I really don't get this.
Maybe with Vinny, that yellow can be avoided, but these guys are midfielders, man. They have to put in challenges.
Okay, tell me one more thing. Don't you think this is contagious? Like, have you ever seen Rodrigo do what he did against Valencia? Basically elbowing someone from the back. Have you seen him do that before? I've never seen him doing that before. I've never seen him lose his head like that. Look how Jude was starting 3-4 months of the season. People will say, yeah, La Liga officials are riling him up. Man, officials are shit everywhere. If you think the Bundesliga refs are fucking saints, yeah, they might be slightly better, granted. But if you think they're saints, you're completely watching the wrong sport. That's it. Look how Jude was first 2 months of the season. Look how Jude is now. Man, all these young guys are basically spending time together, learning from each other.
Yeah, could be.
We have all been in gangs in school, right? Like, I used to be in multiple gangs, not like a gangster, but we used to have like a team who played cricket together or football together. Like,
we used to like a gang.
Like, I wasn't a gangster, but yeah, like, I had something about me, not exactly a gangster, but man, when we saw a couple of our mates really getting roiled up, yeah, like, let's fuck this guy up. Like, obviously, you're gonna do the same thing. If you don't do the same thing, you're labeled as a pussy. Like, even if you are not very keen on starting up a fight, you're like, yeah, like, I'm behind that. So that's the same, same mentality. I feel like, you know, that happens.
The way
these
guys got yellow cards is different. Like, Jude did not get these yellow cards in the UCL for like complaining to the ref.
I'm not talking about one particular instance. It's a general, you know, it's the general theme.
I mean, we haven't seen
you may have a point.
Players, man. Like, it's just Vinny. Maybe sometimes when these guys get heated, they might complain, but not to the extent of Vinny, man. I feel like Vinny's not being the negative influence here or anything. These guys can think on their own.
Like, I feel like a fucking Karen, but it's just stupid, man. Honestly, like, I'm telling you, the yellow card thing really is making me nervous.
Okay, just think about
this. I don't
know
how we combat this.
Man City don't need to take out all of our players to actually win this tie. They know how to plan tactically and in order to win.
Yeah.
But if it was fucking Atletico, like, you know, like, Simeone is gonna be sitting, spend 1 hour, 2 hours getting to know how exactly to get all four of these on yellows.
Man City is infamous for tactical fouling. You should look up the stats, how much they have won, how many games they have won. Like, there was a stat that was floating around Twitter. I'm not sure. Was it last year? Was it the year before? There was a stat that basically said, like, I don't remember the exact numbers. The stat basically said that they are the team with the most tactical fouls leading to championships or titles or some shit along those lines. Just deep it.
That, man?
They just know what they're doing.
The fouls to championships. I don't know.
Basically, I guess it's a metric whereby how many high scoring chances or breaks they prevent from the get go before it unfolds into something more dangerous. Like how they just have that knack to stop attacks basically at the halfway line. There is a knack for doing it. And there is a reason why they have earned a reputation for being so brilliant at pulling that off. So I'm pretty sure their video department is watching all this. Anyway, I don't want to... Man, I'm just venting here, Jacob. Like, I'm happy that you are here for me, right? Like, I'm just saying my intrusive thoughts out loud so that I can feel a bit better. Because, you know, this shit is my life, man. Madrid is my... It's the love of my life. Like I can't really sit through, you know, what we are, you know, about to watch, unfold. Yeah, I don't have the nerves. I'll be honest. But yeah, a few of the other performances quickly. Who else? Come on, we touched upon Mendy. Yeah, I've lost it with him. I've absolutely lost it with him. Remember, I used to really judge his defensive capabilities and whatnot. But the more I see of him in possession, it really is looking like he's a fucking walking liability. You just really can't trust him with the ball. Like, how are we gonna really, you know, deal with Mendy being a training cone on the left side of the pitch? You know, expecting a couple of, like, it's basically like passing the ball to the wall and, you know, it bouncing back. That's what Mendy is. Like, what does he really do going forward? I don't get it. Like, he was doing so much better first half of the season, I feel like. He was doing way, way better. And like, now he's basically just existing.
The Clasico or the Atletico game, like, he was going and making those infield runs and letting Vinny pass to him. He was being...
Underlapping. He used to underlap excellently. He's not doing that anymore. He's like basically gone, Jacob.
Maybe it's just instructions, man. But this game wasn't a game to highlight.
Instructions to be shit? No. I would like to defend Carlo. I'll be honest.
Man, it's not just shit.
I would like to defend Carlo.
Carlo, like, he gets special instructions in those games because, you know, we need numbers forward to actually hurt them. These guys, they even if you escape pressure, Atletico has five men behind the ball against a single Vini. We can't push our midfielders forward. So it's up to these guys to actually push forward. So it's a special instruction in those games for Mendy to go forward, underlap. But in these smaller games, Mendy's job is just to sit back, keep rolling the possession. But today, like, he was a bit of a liability in rolling on the possession as well.
Yeah, like I just fear for guys like him under the 10 tackles of a tight press. You know, like, City is going to suffocate the fuck out of him. He needs to be ready. Sorry, like I have to talk about City too much because that's basically the final for us. That's a final. Like, people will be wondering, is this the City post-match or the Osasuna post-game? Osasuna is the job we should be, you know, getting it over with within the first half, if I'll be honest. Because as good as Osasuna is, as intimidating as El Sadar has been, for us over the years, brilliant crowd, brilliant atmosphere. Like, you have to really praise them. One of the best atmospheres in Spain, hands down. But yeah, man, when champions roll into town, you just take the win and run. But yeah, our focus is completely on City. Like, even Bilbao, brilliant side, has been tearing it apart this season. Hopefully, we'll win the Copa del Rey as well. But at home, they should be you know, swatted aside. If I couldn't find a better word, absolutely fucking swatted aside. But who else, Jacob? Who else do we need to? The subs really didn't, you know, Modric, decent. Did he really have much to do, right?
I would maybe let's talk about
from the starters.
Lunin, I guess.
Yeah,
his distribution.
Rodiger. I want to talk about Rodiger as well.
Let's go.
Go on, Jacob.
Yeah, I mean...
Gone with Lunin.
I think he made some spectacular saves. A couple of his good saves.
100%. 100%.
As usual, his distribution was pretty poor. But he didn't like make one goal all by himself. So yeah, that's what you get from Lunin, man. And the last goal that he conceded, on another day, maybe he would have saved it. You could say that for the Carvajal goal as well.
He was kind of caught by surprise by the velocity of the shot. Like, it was just...
Yeah, it was well hit.
Punted in. Yeah. It went through his legs. That was a bit disappointing for me. You know, like, he just... It's completely, lost track of the ball. Like, when the finish lands, I guess, goalkeepers don't really stand a chance much unless you're, one like Thibaut.
Man, but otherwise too.
Lunin has been pretty solid.
Every single Osasuna corner, he punted the ball up high or he caught the ball. So really good commanding presence. Mm. Maybe on another day, if he could have saved the goal. Maybe Carvajal could have saved the goal as well. But yeah.
First goal, really, he can't do anything about it. First goal is basically a free hit for Budimir. But Rudiger, is it the Ramadan special? I don't think so. It's the season special. Rudiger has been ever fucking consistent. Like, apart from, I remember maybe a couple of games that he had, an average performance or a below average. But tell us, man, you didn't think he was really great today? Or was he...
I've come to the usual standards. Yeah, man, I've come to expect this out of Rudiger, so it doesn't come as a real surprise. But so grateful for him. He's the only reason that we are where we are, both in the UCL and in La Liga. If he had gone missing or if he had the performance from last season, we would have been totally fucked. Big up to Rudiger and whoever starts with him.
His passing is also a great asset. We have touched upon that before, but it's really coming into the fore. His balls from deep, his diagonals, his switches are really coming off at the right time. In the season, I just feel he is just that man who doesn't budge. Like, he is in that patch. I just hope that patch stays with us till June.
This is something I'm so excited about, man. Imagine having Rudiger and a top form Militao in the same team. I don't think we're going to be considering anything. I don't know if they'll be working as good as or we'll see the same shit that we saw last season, where both of them are very aggressive. They leave a lot of space behind. But hopefully, that's what I'm super excited for next season. Like, Mbappe can come and go, but if our defense can actually keep a lot of clean sheets, I feel like that's going to ensure our long-term success.
100%. Alaba was kind of very iffy. Nacho has been shaky. Like you said, man, if not for Rodrigo, it was going to be, a long, long season. And subtle things, where I remember the Osasuna left winger, I forgot his name. He basically was trying to, get the ball from, Rudiger. But then, how usually, defenders, they just block the attacker off to let the ball run through for a goal kick. And he couldn't really hold him off for too long. But he basically had the presence of mind to, just be like, go for it, have a shot at it. You're going nowhere. He just emits that sort of a confidence that I saw from guys like Pepe, from Ramos. It's just, I did claim, again, people don't give me my flowers, but I did claim that Rudiger is going to be such an asset, but people were doubting me. If Mo was there, he would be like, oh, we didn't doubt him. He was shit back then. But let's be honest, we didn't expect him to have this kind of a season in a back four back in 2022. Marcus Winningham, big up Marcus. He was mentioning Man City will be humiliated this time around Madrid. Natig, if I'm not wrong, I was mentioning Arda deserves more minutes. 100%. He just deserves more minutes to help us, not for him to, not for us to see him perform. Or, that's some angle of the narrative, where basically, you know, it's just these guys are basically dying to watch him play. It's not that for me exactly. Like, yes, it's super exciting to watch Arda, you know, spread his wings, but it's more so with the Champions League. Like, I know for a fact from the bench, we need guys like him. We need fresh impetus. Ashik was mentioning Brahim.
Wanted to talk about with you. Go on. Like, do you actually feel like he can be brought on and change games, especially against top quality opposition? I don't think so, because when you bring on these bench players, you need them to be like super intense, winning the ball back, like trying your best to like, and you know, show some impetus. I don't know what the word is, like just
combativeness.
Some combativeness. Like that's what Brahim brings. That's what Kamavinga brings off the bench. I just don't see Arda Güler, even if we need a goal, if he comes on, he just needs way more minutes to actually make an impact. That's what I feel.
You do have a point. Like, I do get it. Like, he's not exactly that kind of a... He's not nasty enough yet. Like, he's still, you know, learning his trade. He's only going to be a lot more game smart, you know, as he you know, gets... you know, as he starts getting minutes consistently and whatnot. But I feel like you give Arda the space, you give Arda the time, he's gonna do something with it. Like, I just feel like he's the Brahim light, simple as, you know, he's just someone who doesn't yet have the physicality or the drive of a Brahim. He's a lot more laid back because he's still a kid. But sometimes I feel like with youth, or with you know, not having that experience, like you get that naivety, which is granted, but we also get that lack of fear, where basically they're just daring to do just about anything they can. Sometimes it may come off, sometimes it won't, and I see myself basically watching our team play a high-stakes game in the Champions League, and it'll come down to a point where you look at the bench, Jose Lu is on, Rodriguez is on, Brahim is on, nothing is happening. Who else? It is Arda Güler time. So that's when he's going to step up, I feel.
Absolutely, like. I just want, like, I hope that, you know, Carlos doesn't break on Ceballos when we need a goal. And, you know, we should probably give it to Arda.
I'll break the TV, honestly. And I'll text Francesco as well, because then I won't hold back. Like, honestly, because sometimes, guys, you just need to have faith. I know it's too early. Wrap him up and, you know, basically don't give him even a chance to save the game. That's just absolutely, you know, nobody's going to blame him for a loss if he comes on for the last 10 minutes. If he tries shit and it doesn't come off, at least he's trying, right? But yeah, I just hope, you know, like Francesco, Carlo, all those guys really look into Arda and, yes, preserve him. Yes, kind of keep him under control, but unleash him when we need him. Because trust me, he has something in his locker that's going to bail us out. I just have that feeling. And my gut never lies. Not going to lie. Like, you guys remember last year against City, I was the one who was being the guy who was, you know, proclaiming to have a prophecy that we are going to get absolutely annihilated. It happened, remember? But I just hope it doesn't happen this year. That's the only thing. Yeah, man. I guess that's pretty much it, right? The subs, not really anybody else that we need to get into. But any thoughts about the other draws? Who do you reckon who will join us between Arsenal and Bayern? I know it's kind of a funny draw, right? Like, if you look back, you know, the infamous 10-2s and whatnot, it's a lifetime ago. But Arteta, the waxman, has been really pulling Arsenal to his strings. Do you see Bayern going through, or do you see Arsenal going through?
Man, it's the best defense against the best attack in the UCL. I just honestly feel like Arsenal don't really stand a chance unless like Upamecano is there and Bayern fucks up. I don't see them go
off. Upamecano. You reckon the experience, the inex or or the inexperience of the Gunners. But,
I just feel like really... Bayern just have too much quality up front. They're gonna score goals, and unless they fuck up in the back line, they're gonna always go through 9 out of 10 days.
Is the second leg at the Emirates or the Allianz?
Not too sure, man.
Can you Google it quickly? If it's the Allianz, it's over.
At Arsenal home, so yeah, second leg is at the Allianz.
Okay, yeah, no chance. At the Allianz, they'll just run them over.
Yeah, but I'm just annoyed. We have to face the best teams to fucking at least get to the final. While Barca and Atleti, you know, they have it easy, man.
Barca and Atleti has an easy run on paper. But deep in, Barca facing Atleti is always terror for both of them. Do you reckon they're going to enjoy it? They're going to just fucking die of the nose.
If Barca get through PSG, I'm pretty sure they're going to get to the final and it'll annoy me, man. Like, I just feel like that's kind of unfair the way the draw dropped.
Shall we getting to the final, yeah?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. I hope it doesn't happen. PSG, Mbappe, one last dance.
Fingers crossed, yeah.
One last dance for the Paris Qataris or Parisians. I'm not sure how to put it, but yeah, one last belly dance. Yeah, I hope he, you know, nails it. PSG will go through as well. Ashik says, you never know. But yeah, I guess that's pretty much it, man. We have an international break. We have something in mind to kind of cook in between, you know, now and the Bilbao game. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled. I hope you guys are liking the big three show. We have been, kind of, you know, keeping it running for the past couple of weeks, and I've had the pleasure of talking to a few people who thinks that it's a great effort, and we should really start by thanking the Big Six Show for giving us the idea to kind of, you know, and the confidence to basically pull that off, and Turkish especially, who has even given us a vote of approval for the logo, and has been super kind, super warm ever since, you know, like we have kind of, you know, known Turkish. Big Steve, you know the drill, Saeed, Matisse, Gris, Huey, we really haven't had a chance to work with, but hopefully with the City tie around the corner, we should, you know, get him on in some capacity sooner rather than later. But yeah, man, Big Three is coming, you know, coming along fine. We'll have the fourth episode, if I'm not wrong, hopefully Tuesday. So, you know, watch out for our socials, you know, for the link. It'll be most probably on, you know, Barca Boys channel. Give some leeway for Halfway, you know he's a bit edgy, you know, we all know that he can, you know, get in people's heads way too quickly, but yeah, like you can't expect everyone to be, you know, like everyone else, right? Like that's how Halfway is. He is a brilliant host, I'm not gonna lie. I enjoy watching you know their back and forth. Even Sam is a huge plus. Alex, you guys already know from our, you know, derby previews. Yeah, they're cooking something special, man. Mo, I think Mo will be joining them for Tuesday. So yeah, Mo versus Halfway, you know, the title card we kind of promised is gonna be, you know, truly underway Tuesday. So watch out for that. You know, they won't hold back. I'm pretty sure, you know, Halfway won't hold back, you know, especially with Mo. But yeah, we should thank Jacob for, you know, some of the frames over at the Big Three Show as well. The intro, outro, the magic behind the lens. Even Geetang, our in-house editor, for, you know, the super cool intro that he, you know, cooked in less than 3-4 days. Yeah, it's a collective effort, people. You know, the more love you can show the show, you know, the happier, you know, all of us will be, because, you know, we have worked a lot to get to this point. Friendly reminder, check out our partners, Real Milk Committee, on Instagram. They run a brilliant fan. Go check them out. Give them a follow. You know the drill. Go support Manscaped, LBR20, to get 20% off and free shipping on manscaped.com. Pioneers of below-the-waist grooming. Also, one of the best in above-the-waist grooming. They have a whole catalog of products trimmers, nose trimmers, waxes, hair gels, loungewear, you name it, Manscaped is here for you. Show them some love. Show us some love, man. Big up our audio listeners as well for sending us feedback, positive and negative. It's something that I look forward to every freaking day. Basically, it's such an asset for us to have that, you know, we can have conversations with us, and big up people in the live chat as well. This pod and this channel is what it is because of this two-way conversation that we can have. You know, we can really talk about the game, talk about the club we love for days and never get really tired of it. Big up Jacob as well for sitting through my rants. You know, my co-hosts really bring out the rationale. I'm a bit emotional at times, but it's just love, man, love for the club. Jacob, any final thoughts?
Well, I'm just sad, you know, that you don't have love for me, but I understand. In the same way, we all love
them. We have all the time. We have all the time to love you, Jacob. You know, this is the public front, right? This is the front that we should keep. It really sounds fucking wrong, but I didn't mean what you guys are thinking in your heads, you know, while you guys are listening to this, you know, back. But
yeah, I mean,
yeah, Ashik says go support Manscaped, not Man City. Big up, Ashik. Go on, Jacob.
Yeah, man. I feel like this time we're like giving way too much respect to Man City because, like it or not, like last year we were in a worse position. There was no way we could win, but we were still kind of confident because maybe we were a bit naive. But our team this year is much better than last year, I would say, personally, even with all the injuries and stuff. So I'm a bit more confident that, you know, the scoreline won't be as bad, but we still have it against us, especially since the second leg is against the Etihad. Let's just hope for the best. Let's hope Carlo doesn't do anything crazy and hopefully the stars align, man. But more confident than last year.
That's a massive statement. More confident than last year. Why can't I have the same vibes? You have to, you know, basically mix some portions and send it over, man. You know, let me take a sip and basically feel like you as well. Maybe like, man, closer to the tie. Like when we're doing the preview, I'm not gonna, you know, basically say, oh Steve, man, like I hope you don't thrash us. That's not gonna be the conversation. Obviously, like we're gonna back our club, right? And I'm definitely gonna give our club the benefit of the doubt to pull something out of the hat. But yeah, when you deep it, it's not so realistic. But I disagree with your point that we are stronger on paper compared to last year. We don't have a striker. Without Benzema, how can we be stronger? That's my argument, you know. Yes, this formation like, kind of gives us solidity.
The reason was, like, last year, Benzema was in, like, in the second half of the season, he wasn't firing, man. Like, he was out of form. And that was one of the major reasons why we did not win any titles last season. This season, like...
We won the Copa del Rey.
All right.
It's not really a title, but this season, I get what you
we
mean.
We have two players in top form. If we can get somehow Rodrigo in form, somehow scoring out of the blue, I feel like we can actually nick it.
You heard the man. I just hope I get a lot more confidence as we, you know, like the Bilbao game is... It's gonna be a nothing sample basically, but how we perform against Bilbao, pretty decent side this year, at home, is gonna, you know, really, you know, give us a good sense of what to expect. And also the first leg as well, right after that, the first leg at home, it's gonna set the tempo. Go away to the Etihad with a 2-goal lead, and we are talking. We'll be here for it, you know. But if not, may God help us, man. But yeah, people, much love for the love. Until next time. Hala Madrid.
Hala Madrid.